What's that name?
My friend loved Jimmy.
Jimmy, I didn't know you were going to be here, but like before I got here this afternoon, I felt like the Lord said to me, gave me a word for someone called Jimmy. And I'm like, I wonder what Jimmy's going to be. So you're here. And I heard the word star, and the Lord said, like, shine like the stars. And I felt like God's saying he's going to promote you to a place of influence where you are actually like a star in the sky that everyone can see, but you're going to shine for the kingdom of God. In the same way that, like, Jesus said when he was in the Sermon on the Mount, he's like, hey, guys, be like a city on a hill glowing in the night for all to see. Be that way. I feel like you're going to be that, but almost even more than that, like a star in even an untouchable kind of way, where God's going to put you in a position where people aren't going to be able to attack you or slander you or take you down from that position, because like, the stars are up there and we observe them all the time, but we can't do anything to influence them or bring them down, right? I feel like God's saying it's going to be such an amazing safety that he's leading you into. So I just bless you to be a star and to shine for God's kingdom, and as he promotes you, to know that it's going to be safe and secure in Jesus' name. Cool? Is there anyone in teaching? Anyone in like education? Anyone studying education? Indicate so by lifting your hand above your head. Anyone? Is my sister? I can't prophesy over my sister. That's nepotism. Is there anyone else? Okay, so I must be reading there. Is there anyone else? Oh, are you pointing at? Oh, yeah, that's right. You teach. That's right. I didn't understand that. Sarah, stand up as well. Anyone else?
Two teachers. Just
anyone else studying education? Currently studying education or in education? Okay, well, this is for the two of you. I felt like it's similar to Jimmy's word, but I felt like the Lord was saying an influence for educators. And I feel like God is saying that there's an increase of influence. In fact, I saw perspective that was like this, like a, what are those things that pirates have?
Telescope?
Yeah, like a telescope. But I saw a telescope widen. I feel like God is saying he's going to give you broad vision and broad influence. It's going to go beyond just the specific, and yet it's going to be specific over a broad area. And you're going to have broad influence over, broad but specific influence over a number of areas. And that means increased authority as well, because often it's the captain or it's a senior kind of official on the boat who's observing, and that's for security and safety's sake. And I feel like the two of you in your areas of teaching, you're actually going to be preserving security and actually introducing and preserving kingdom values to sustain and bring, I'm sorry, I'm repeating back a little bit, bring security and value to where it's been lost, and even preserve and save people and keep people safe, and be aware of what is to come. I feel like that means prophetic insight as well is going to increase for both of you as well, so I just bless that as well. Amen. Sorry, but I'm gonna pull on this late on me. Do you guys appreciate him? You need to appreciate him. Honestly, that is like the most difficult job here to do tonight. Seriously, much more difficult than this, and he's doing a great job. Okay, so we're talking about fruit. Should we pray? You should pray.
Let's pray.
Do you want to pray?
Okay.
You pray.
Holy Spirit, thank you for this evening. Father, thank you for Central. Thank you that this amazing group of people meets week after week up here in the Alma Combo, or downstairs in the Alma Combo, apparently, but I've never seen them. And God, I just bless them. I bless their quiet revolution that they're leading here in the city of Toronto. I bless the fact that they are, I just got this word actually during worship, that you guys are quietly rebellious, but not in a bad way, but like in a really good, like Holy Spirit kind of way. Like I saw everyone's hands lifted during worship, and I saw like purity rings on girls, and I knew the hearts of the people who were worshiping were just like we will not be shaken, we won't be taken down. We won't be taken down. So I just bless them. I bless that spirit that resides in Central. Like, you know, you're just doing your thing. You're kind and you're loving. But, you know, in the face of the enemy, you're like, you cannot take us down. So I bless them. I bless ears to be open and spirits to be open in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Okay, we are Andrew and Sarah. We pastor TACF North York, which is the other young adult campus.
Wow. What?
That meets by kind of near York University. It's at Young and Shepherd. And we've missed them, and they're meeting right now. So we bless North York. Okay, so fruit. We're so excited. Noel and Jordan asked us to speak a number of months ago, and we've kind of been processing this and chewing on this. And how many of you have like an understanding of what that word fruit means in kind of like a church or biblical context? It tends to be one of those words that we throw around, one of those like Christianese words that like often we kind of lose the meaning of it.
Like, or, it sounds cool, but everyone's like, oh yeah, you know, bearing good fruit, yeah, yeah. What?
So fruit in the kingdom of God, in kind of church speak, means the product of your life. So the product, so spiritual fruit is the product of your spiritual life. Practical fruit is the, you know, so you understand what I'm saying? So I think that this series is about, like, different fruit in our lives. I think last week, we're going to chat about that for a second. The Jacksons had an amazing message. Sarah Jackson had a great message. Many of you guys were touched by that message last week. It was, like, awesome things. At North Therapy, we were like, whoa, something's happening. Because her message was, like, stellar about, like, all some of that negative fruit in our hearts and our lives, right? So that's all. Okay, do we have that PowerPoint? Yes. Okay, let's go to the next slide.
How sweet it is.
Oh. Okay, this is going to be interesting.
Just read the bottom part loudly so that you know what it says, because it's on the curtain and you can't read it.
Okay, we want to look at tonight. Grab your Bibles if you don't want to read along on the thing, or if you've got a better translation in your perspective. And we're going to go to Exodus chapter 6. And what we want to look at is the people of Israel as like a type for our lives. And they were in Egypt. They were in captivity. How many of you know captivity is not fun? Okay.
Three people are aware of the fact that being a slave is no fun. And the rest of you are like, I don't know. I have a lot of exams. It might be nice to just be sent for.
No, it was immensely difficult.
It's bad.
Immensely
especially
difficult.
For 430 years. That's very, very bad.
Yeah, that's a long time to be a slave. Okay, so what I want to do is we're going to read and lay a bit of perspective. So this is Exodus chapter 6. We're going to read actually from the Amplified because it's so nice. Starting in verse 6, it says, accordingly, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, this is God speaking, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. The Egyptians were the ones who had enslaved Israel. And I will free you from their bondage, and I will rescue you with an outstretched arm, with special and vigorous action, and by my mighty acts of judgment. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that it is I, the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And the next slide says, and I will bring you into the land concerning which I lifted up my hand and swore that I would give it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you for a heritage. I am the Lord, you have the pledge of my changeless omnipotence and faithfulness.
Oh, wow.
I love
so
it.
Good.
Yeah, I love it. Okay.
So the Israelites are in captivity. We're kind of doing a bit of like, we're vaulting off of where Sarah Jackson, I believe, left you last week. She was talking about bad fruit and how to dig it out, correct?
Yeah.
We weren't here, so I was just going by Noel's email. So if you're thinking about bad fruit, then that's good. But how many of you know that even when you're breaking a bad habit, you can't just break a bad habit like smoking? You actually have to replace what the time and the energy and the money that you were spending on that bad habit with something good. So it's not enough just to take away the bad fruit, because it'll come right back. You need to fill it with like good fruit. We need to figure out what that is, right? What we noticed was really interesting is that, think about it, for 430 years, Israel was enslaved, which meant that you had been a slave, and your father had been a slave, and your grandfather had been a slave, and your great-great-grandfather had been a slave. I missed one. Great-grandfather. Anyway, as far as you can remember, no one had owned anything. They had been owned. And that's the difference between slavery and being a son or a daughter in the kingdom of God. So I believe what happened for a lot of you, I believe sometime in your life, you actually accepted Jesus as like the Lord, of the manager of your life. And you're like, I can't do this on my own, Jesus, I need your help. That's where salvation came in. But then there are stages, like what I believe happened last week, where you're still unrooting some of that bad fruit in your life, and you're basically giving it back to God. And the more you do this, the more you become aware of the fact that you are a son or a daughter and not a slave. And the difference is a slave is owned. When you were under the enemy's power, you were owned. Like what Paul says, like, I don't do what I want to do, and I do what I don't do want to do. Like, you were kind of controlled like a marionette. And you're like, ah, flip, I can't get myself out of this. And when you're a son, you own. You are not owned, you own. You own something, you own an inheritance. You know that that's your land. And likewise, a slave works the land, and a son manages the land. There's a big difference. Or inherits the land. So a slave, they just have to work the land because that's what they're told to do, because their own, their like their body, their energy, and their work is owned by somebody. But a son doesn't have to live under that pressure, that burden, it calls it in this version. So you've done that last week, or you've begun the process last week, and what we're going to do is take you into the sonship.
Okay, let's go to the next slide. This is really cool. So Israel's come out of Egypt, and And God says to them, guess what? It's time for you to actually leave that complete lifestyle and thought pattern of being subjected to the Egyptians. And now you're going to enter this promised land. You're going to enter the blessing of what I have prepared for you. Okay. Numbers 13, 17 to 20 says, see what the land is like and whether a few who live there, the few people that live there are strong or weak, few or many. And actually what God is doing is he's sending out a few spies from Egypt. He's like, guys, go check out that land that I prepared for you. And Moses is speaking to them. He's like, guys, let's go check it out.
The spies almost even came from Israel instead of Egypt.
What did I say
for example?
Yeah.
Egyptian spies from Israel.
Anyway, what kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. Okay.
Okay, so we wrote these notes together, so we don't really know like whose is what bit, so we're just like, anyway, next. So in Psalms 34, and I know a lot of you guys know this verse, Psalms 34, verse 8, you don't have to go there, but it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. God is very experimental. He wants to share his kingdom with
you. Or experiential.
Or experiential. Or experimental. He's like, well, that didn't work. Let's try another thing. Experiential, even. So he's like, he's living in, is this like super loud? Are your ears all like bleeding? Are you okay?
You guys hear us in the back? You guys okay in the back?
Oh, they're fine. They can't hear. Okay.
Give it up for the back.
And so as sons, we're realizing that because it's our inheritance, like, yes, we get it eventually. Often with the word inheritance, it's very word means like, well, we don't have it now, but we will have it eventually. That's kind of sweet. But God's saying, absolutely, I have stuff stored up for you in the future, but you can also walk in extreme fruit right now. So good stuff now, better stuff later. Right? Instead of like, woe is me, I'll just work my whole life for like the good that's ahead of me. And I love that God's like, why don't you go and see, you know, what you're about to own. You don't own it yet, but go sniff around a bit. Go see what you like. It's kind of like a house that you haven't, you know, like put a down a down payment for it. And so it's not actually yours, but you get to go around. You get to like envision yourself in the rooms. You get to like figure out what wallpaper you're gonna put on if you're in the 90s and you use wallpaper. And so God's like, why don't you go and check it out? And these we're gonna see in the next slide.
Okay, but yeah, this is the next slide. Numbers 13, 21, 25 says, so they went up and explored the land. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes.
Yeah.
Okay, I want you to see this. Put your imagination caps on. Two of them carried it on a pole between them. You know, like Flintstone style? Like, that's how heavy the grapes were, that one cluster of grapes they had to carry on a pole between them. They also carried along with the grapes some pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut off there.
Okay, pause. I kind of like, this is what I just kind of like, if grapes that are this big had to be carried between two people, then I wonder how big those pomegranates were. Did they roll them? Kick them back? Man, this is looking big.
Okay, so why does the Bible include that important element? Because I think God wanted, and the reason why God sent the spies in is because I think God wanted the Israelites to know that the promised land, what he had, the blessing of what he has, and what God is saying to you today is, the blessing of what I have for you is enormous. Yeah. It's really big, and it's not natural, it's supernatural.
Amen.
It's beyond what would be reasonable. Okay, even though they only got a taste of it when it came back, can you imagine like a nation seeing print on their newspapers on CNN, they see these enormous grapes, you're like, wow, that's pretty cool, right? So they just get like a taste of what is to come, but it's really, really, really good. Right? It's beyond what they think could be reasonable.
Yeah. Now, even the spies that went out had two different reactions to going out and tasting and seeing the land, much like we can do in our own lives. You guys probably know the story, but 10 of them came back and only saw the challenges. Or what we would like say to you is, most of them came back and saw through the eyes of a slave. Man, I have to work that land. Do you know how impossible that is? That's so much work for us to do. The people are huge. They're going to squash us like grasshoppers. The cities are all fortified. Like, we don't have enough people. We don't have enough weapons. They were only thinking, I have to work the land. I am owned, and I have to work the land. The two of them came back saying, it's already ours. It's only a matter of time before we get it. Also, check out the grapes. Did I mention the pomegranates? Like, it's huge, and it's ours. I'm not thinking that I have to, like, work this land. I get to manage goes around saying, I made that. Like, she'll just, like, well, it's not really all that funny. Anyway, it's one of those, like, kind of had to be there. But she'll just, she's absolutely wickedly hilarious. And she'll just, like, pass, like, a bookshelf or something and be like, I made that. But she didn't. Anyway, so now Andrew and I do it for everything, like the slideshow. We're like, yeah, I made that. But it's true. It's just, like, this confidence that oozes out of Caleb and Joseph. Or, Caleb and Joshua. Wow. And so they can look at that and be like, okay, well, it's not technically ours yet, but that's just a technicality. We know the promises that God has given us. And Caleb said, with all this confidence, he goes, we can certainly take that land. It wasn't like, well, I don't know, maybe with enough months of training, we'd have to, like, probably have many more boy babies and, like, raise them to be warriors. Maybe in a few generations, maybe we can do it on our strength. Because we have to work the land. He's like, I manage that land, that's mine.
Okay, think about where you've seen some of these gigantic grapes in your life. So you have a moment, like at Central, like on a Sunday night, and yeah. you, without a doubt, like no one could disprove yeah. it to you, you have an experience like, with the living God. Yeah. You have one of those moments where you're like, wow, this is like, I have no words to express this. Or like the moment you accept Jesus as your savior, right? And all that guilt and shame that you've been carrying around for years, those curses you've been living in that moment, the fullness of his cross comes into your life and you're like, wow, this is, I am like tingling. Like some of you right now, as you're remembering it, you know, like faith is rising up in your heart, right? Yeah, some of you can feel it, right? We have these moments. Now, we like the Israelites have two responses that we live in every day. We have the response of the dudes who are like, oh, but what is to come is so complicated and difficult and I don't know, like it seems like there's some pretty serious battles to fight and woe is me. Or we respond like Caleb and Joshua, we respond and we say, no, what I've tasted is so good that it's made me really hungry for more.
Yeah.
So what is your response? What is your response in your life right now? Ask yourself that. Be honest with yourself. What is your response in your life right now? Okay, let's go to the next slide. As I was kind of meditating on this yesterday, I said to the Lord, I'm like, God, why don't you just give the promised land to the Israelites all at once? And God said, Andrew, it's because of Paris. And I was like,
because of Paris.
Why? He said, it's because of Paris Hilton. I was like, what? Jesus. You ever have those times where you're like, am I hearing Jesus? And God says, because of Paris Hilton, because, case in point, she has been given like everything she wants. Yeah. An abundance. So she's like you and me. She's a child of someone who's wealthy. We have the father, the king of all kings, who has all wealth at his disposal, right? So we can identify with her, right? She has a lot of financial means at her disposal and connections and influence, right? And because of that, she has utilized that. But she has become, in our generation, like the
epitome
of waste and excess and that silly, like, wealth kind of lifestyle. You know what I mean?
Right, hey, if someone were to ask you, you know, could you give me like a celebrity's name, somebody who has like really good character, like wisdom? Paris probably wouldn't come out of your mouth.
Yeah,
maybe, no, doubtful.
And there's this cool verse in Exodus 23 where God says, "I will not drive them out in a single year." And God's talking about all of the opposition, because you have to imagine God's calling a nation of Israel into an enormous land that's occupied by different people groups. And God says about that, he's like, I'm not going to drive out all these people groups in a single year and give you guys the whole land.
Yeah.
Because the land would become desolate and wild animals would become too numerous for you guys. Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. Now, this is what's going on in our lives from day to day. We actually have access to every blessing in the heavenly realms, and those things translate here on earth. Ephesians 1 verse 3 tells us that, right? And so because of that, we have all this good ahead of us, but it's a matter of us day by day going and claiming more and more and more of it. And as Israel came into the promised land, God's intention was they would have some more babies, take some more land. They would plow some more ground and grow some more crops and own that land. And then they would move a little bit further out, and a little bit further out, and a little bit further out. And eventually, they would have access to all of it, right? It would just take time.
So this is kind of one of those conundrums where we have truth and we have fact. The truth was the promised land was Israel's. They knew that in their spirit. It was promised to them. That's why it's called the promised land. The facts were that Israel had to take some time in collecting it for themselves. And that's how I believe a lot of us in this room are, especially at this age, you know, like 20s, 30s, early, like late teens, where you're like, well, I absolutely know. I've had those moments that Andrew just mentioned, you know, in worship, or I've had a vision or a dream. I can see myself doing that, like to the extent that, like, I could feel like I was really doing it, but I'm not there yet. Well, that's fine. The truth is, it's yours. And the facts are, you got to work to get there. Because it's going to come.
Say this after me. The truth is, it's mine.
The truth is, it's mine.
facts are.
The facts are.
I'm on my way to getting it.
I'm on my way to getting it.
All of it.
All of it.
Okay, let's go to the next slide, which we didn't finish, so it looks kind of weird.
you can't even read the heading. That says inheritance is for children.
Yeah, so inheritance is for children. Inheritance isn't for workers. So slaves and servants, they don't get an inheritance. So you and I, we get an inheritance because we have been adopted into God's family. And so we get this promise that he's set aside for us. Sarah, this is like fresh revelation. Because we both woke up this morning with dreams. That is her joke. She gets full credit. I bow before the master. We both woke up this morning with two things God had said to us, and these are what the Lord said to us. He like brought it all to inheritance. Why don't you do that, Sarah?
Okay, so I saw a picture of... okay, stay with me, because I'm visual, but I'm going to explain it to you. I saw a picture of, like, a melted solid of some sort. So, wax, or plastic, or lava, that type of thing. Something that is meant to be solid, but at the time that I saw it, it was in its liquid form. Got it?
Yeah.
You got something in your head? Okay. And it was just, like, on the floor, or on a table, basically a surface. It's just kind of been plopped. And much like a liquid would, it's just kind of, like, creeping towards, I don't know, the lowest point on wherever it is, right? It's just kind of like blah, starting to spread. And then I knew that it was the Father. I knew that God was like putting up like little walls, like little dividers, kind of like just starting to hem it in. And of course, if something is like leaking out like this, and you put a little wall there, immediately it's going to start like oozing around the wall and like just keep going because it's determined, it's liquid. And God just kept putting like these little dividers. I'm like, well, what am I looking at? I'm pretty sure it was wax in my eyes, it was white. And God was saying that what the little walls represented was God's discipline. And often what we feel, and Andrew and I have been talking about this, is that often what we feel is discipline means punishment for being bad. But in fact, it's not all the time. It can be, if you're being bad. But actually, discipline is part of like a healthy, balanced Christian diet. You need discipline in order to be able to get the fruit that you need, in order to be able to like capture the land that you're meant to have. And so normal discipline is kind of like an athlete. You know, they discipline their body. We're not normal average people are going around, you know, like bench pressing, you know, 100, 150 pounds. That's somebody who's disciplining their...
Yeah, except for Andrew.
And me. That was even more ridiculous. My arms are so skinny. But this is, if we also call that discipline. I think sometimes we forget that and we think, oh, discipline, I don't want discipline. That sounds like it hurts. Well, maybe it does, but also an athlete isn't thinking like every time they go in the gym, ooh, I don't want to. They're thinking, whatever, that gold is mine. I'm going in the gym. What? I'm sure that's what they're doing.
And I think this comes out of this whole thing the Lord was saying to me in my dream, which was this difference between independence versus sonship. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that our church, TCF, like as a whole, we value, one of our biggest values is sonship, living in like relationship with God as his kids. Because that's what we have access to, right? You guys know that, right? Mm-hmm. Yes? Yes?
Yes? Yes.
If you don't, now you do. And God, the thing God reminded me of was I heard this story that a number of years ago, Hallmark donated over 10,000 Mother's Day cards to some of the top security penitentiaries, maximum security penitentiaries in a couple major cities in the States. We donated, like, I think over 10,000 of them. And apparently what happened was, within, like, a few days, this is a couple weeks before Mother's Day, within a couple of days, all of them were gone. The inmates just had to, like, mail them off. They only had to pay for postage. And all of them had been gone. And everyone was like, wow, this is really cool. And so Hallmark donated 20,000 for Father's Day. And lo and behold, not one card was sent.
Wow.
Not one card was sent. Now, and like sociologists wanted to study it substantially because they thought this must say something to us. And you and I, we know it because we live in this society. We know that we live in a society that values independence.
Yeah.
And there's something in our society where we know we need love and we know we need nurture, which is one of the major things we get from our mothers. I'm speaking in huge generalities right now. But we throw off the restraint and love and direction that a father would bring. And I want you to see this, because we do this here in church, and we do this in our spiritual lives. You and I do this. And so because of that, we're like this wax that God has poured out. Our lives are like this wax, and God's like, I have these boundaries that I'm setting up for you to push you in the direction I want you to go, to make you who I want you to be. You know, I'm the potter, you're the clay, as another allusion in the Bible says, and I'm working you to be who you need to be, right? But if we're not connected to him, if we're not submitting our lives to him, if we're not allowing that discipline to come and to shape us, then we'll end up going the long route around where we should be going, right? And we'll miss out.
Well, the pros and cons of discipline are, and this is what God was saying, is you can either submit to the discipline at the time, where it isn't a punishment for doing something bad. It's actually just discipline. It's a boundary. Or you can choose to leak around it, but then once you harden, you have to be chiseled off instead of just being hemmed in. When you're soft and malleable and pliable, it's much more easy to be disciplined rather than just being like, oh, heck no, I'm going in my own direction. God's like, yeah, you're still going to actually be the shape that I'm creating you to be because it's the best you that there possibly is, so we're going to have to, like, chop that off now. And, of course, that's a little bit more difficult. And that's why the word discipline means both things. It means, like, you know, a gentle correction, but it also means, like, no, Daddy says no. And what we realize is that discipline actually gives you two things. It gives you form. It would actually give you the form of your character, who you're meant to be. And it also gives you function. Imagine a mold meant for a fork, and the plastic in that mold is constantly, like, oozing out and trying to do something else on their own. As a functionable fork, it's going to look pretty dumb in the end. You know, if it's doing its own thing, it'll be, like, all sprouting out on one side, like half a spoon, kind of weird handle. So it actually won't be the best fork that it was meant to be. So if you know what you're called to be, if you know those dreams that God has put in your heart, you will be the best that there is if you submit to his discipline now. Or later. I mean, eventually we'll get it, but it's much easier to do it sooner rather than later. And what we're realizing is that only by submitting to God's discipline at the time do we know how to make the wise decisions that are required of us later on down the road. We can't just make those up on our own. So, for example, Andrew and I are married. We've been married for 2 years. We just mentioned this morning. We're like the thought of a premarital of an extramarital affair doesn't cross our minds. It's not even really on our radar. We're like, yeah, we know that those happen, but it's just not part of our, like, it's not on our radar. It's not on our grid. But it was because we also lived, prior to marriage, a celibate life. We lived, like, the idea of being like, no, I believe that this is actually only meant for my husband or wife. I'm living for that destiny that God's called me to be. I'm not going to sleep around. I'm not going to involve myself in relationships that aren't my husband or wife. For each of us. And so, of course, on the other side, we're able to make those decisions a lot easier because independence has not been birthed in us prior to marriage. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, now, so the fruit of marriage that we are living in is awesome. People, like, before I got married, people talked often about how great marriage is amazing, it's fantastic. I'm like, yeah. All the single people are like, exhale. But to tell you the truth, The fruit that is this marriage, the, like, safety and the comfort and the love, the depth of all of those things are like these grapes that I never thought could ever grow. I need to tell you that. Really, truly. The fruit of this is well beyond what I could have imagined. I didn't think pomegranates were this big. Really, truly. That's the way I feel about this, right? And before I got married, people would talk about it, and so I get a little glimpse of it, right? And I had choices every day. Do I want to save myself for that? Allow God to hem me in, discipline me, so that I can really get the best of what he has for me. Because that fruit is what he's prepared for me. He's prepared this incredible marriage for me. And so for all of you who are single, like I'd say to you guys, like, hold out. Allow him to discipline you. Allow him to correct you and to mold you and prepare you for actually that amazing blessing he's got prepared.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Really quickly, we bought a house last year, and I planted a garden, because I'm Italian, I have to, it's like part of my blood. I planted tomato plants, you know, the stereotype perpetuates
itself. And basil.
I wanted to show you something. I wanted to show you a practical example of the Lord also said to me this morning, as I was kind of in that in and out of sleep state. And the Lord said to me, he's like, Andrew, if you were to plant your garden, and then let the tomato plants and everything just kind of lie as it is, like you just leave it, and then walk away, in about like a few months, you probably just have a lot of rotting stuff, right? Because the tomatoes are sitting on the ground. Once they start to grow, they would just rot because they're touching the ground, and the bugs can get to them easier, and you know the plants can't get a lot of light. But if like I did, I put down some stakes and I tie them up and I pull off some of the leaves near the bottom, and you know I do that work.
Water them.
I water them, absolutely. I till the ground around it. Then what?
You get fruit.
I had some really nice tomatoes this year, people, I'm telling you. And sometimes I think in our lives we think, I know I'm meant to bear fruit, but God, just let me be. I want to be free.
Do what I want.
Right? Or we use this, what has become a buzzword, I want my life to just be organic. I want my Christian to be
organic. Just grow.
Yes, yes. And I think sometimes we use that to mean, I don't want to be hemmed in or structured in certain areas. We use it kind of like as a scapegoat. And I would suggest that that's independence. And in fact, what we need to be saying to the Father is, God, would you, I know it's going to be hard, because it means some things are going to have to go, but would you put some stakes down in my life? God, because I wanted my life to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You've got good stuff prepared for me. I've had little tastes of it. And so, because I had those tastes, I know there's bigger stuff to come and better stuff to come. And so, would you put some stakes down in my life and do some work in me? I love what Hebrews, you want to read about?
Oh, Hebrews 12. Verse 5 to 11, if you want to read it actually in your own Bibles, please do. Or write that down in your journals if you're taking notes, because that's like super amazing.
Here.
Like sometimes it's one of those things that you read in the Bible and you're like, what? This is actually in the Bible? It's very blunt, which is what I like it. Starting at verse 5, and you have forgotten that the word encouragement, is this it? 12? 5. Yes? Okay. And you have forgotten that the word encouragement that addresses you as sons, not slaves. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those that he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. So if you're not getting disciplined or punished, ew. That's not kind of good. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, it's in brackets, I don't like that. Like an aside, then you are illegitimate children or slaves and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. And how much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, or didn't, but God disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. Verse 11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. We're not going to candy coat it. We're not going to like all fuzzy bunny it, and you're not going to like soak your way through it. Like, sometimes it's hard. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces, this is what we're talking about, a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it.
Say, your discipline, Father, produces a harvest in my life. A harvest of enormous fruit. Okay, we got about 1,000 things more left to say. We're running out of time, so.
I'm just going to read the rest of the Bible.
go to the next slide for a second. We just want to read this really quickly. Colossians 1, 9-11 says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Don't you know? This is really good. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. Growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened in all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share his inheritance of the saints.
In 2 Corinthians, it also says, you guys know that we often misquote it, I think, unless there's a version of it that says actually from glory to glory, but it says, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit, or often we'll say it as from glory to glory. So it doesn't mean that you have, like, poof now and fruit later. It's not like, well, I really have to work through this valley, you know, so that I can get to the mountaintop at the end of it. No, there is no such, absolutely, sometimes we have bad days, but we shouldn't have a bad life. That was stolen from Bill Johnson. Copyright Bill Johnson. Whom we love. But you shouldn't have, like, a bad life. You shouldn't have a constant valley in hopes that, you know, one day the Lord will give you something good. You should have good now. Very, very, very good now. You should be like that star. People should be looking at your life being like, I want what they have. Yeah. And then with ever-increasing glory, they should want more and more and more of it. And you should be like, dude, I thought yesterday was good. Today rocks. I can't wait for tomorrow.
In Revelation chapter 22, there's a tree that bears fruit in every season. There are no trees that do that, right? Trees go through seed time, and then there's times where they produce fruit, and there's times where they're not producing seeds or fruit. So there's this, like, supernatural tree in Revelation chapter 22, and that tree is meant to represent our lives. you and I are meant to be producing fruit in every season. So even the seasons that are difficult, even the seasons where God's really disciplining us or honing us in or preparing us for better things, even in those days we can be like, God, I'm meant to be like that tree in Revelation 22. So what is the fruit that's in my life right now? And remember, with God, it's never shriveled up little raisins.
Yeah.
Right? It's always like Fred Flintstone style grapes.
Grapes the size of your head. And pomegranates you have to keep.
And we're not just saying this that you can leave here feeling like encouraged and tickled. It's so that you leave here today and be like, God, open my eyes to see the enormous, fantastic, supernatural, not natural, supernatural fruit that is like up before me. And if you're not seeing it, start to demand it. Be like, God, I need to see it. And would you forgive me where my eyes have maybe been focused on other things or the negative things, God? Because, you know, I know you have good for me. Like, I'm like Israel. You have an amazing inheritance for me. Let's go to the next slide. We'll end with this.
There's this quote by C.S. Lewis that we found and absolutely love. It says, we long for more, and God's promise is that there is more awaiting us, more to delight us than we will ever exhaust. And that's the same thing that we're talking about. It's always like ever-increasing glory. Like, I think that we as people should understand that God always has good stuff for us. So we might be having a bad day, but good fruit should still be coming out of it all the time.
Okay, can you go to the next slide?
If it helps at all, what our hearts kind of were was that last week we know that you got the what not fruit is, like what fruit isn't. And this week, what we're hoping is that you're going to take away how to.
Yeah.
How to. And it has to do with discipline, absolutely. It has to do with a lot of other stuff like faithfulness, but it's always good stuff. This is encouraging.
We have a couple questions on the PowerPoint. You can read that if that helps you. But I think there's like three camps of people. I think there's people who are saying, I don't know anything about this fruit that is like available to me. Or you've only tasted a little bit and you've kind of lost hope. And so for those of you, I'd say like write in your journal right now or make a little note in your eye, whatever, and say, God, I need you to start to show me what that promise land looks like, because I need hope. Some of you need to start dreaming the dreams of God. Because you've settled for less, and so you have no hope. There is no sense of like the supernatural. There is no sense of these enormous grapes that are.
And if your dreams are totally manageable on your own, you have the wrong dream. You need to dream bigger.
Yes. So some of you are in that first category. You need to start dreaming the dreams of God. And then there are others of you where you have some semblance of what is to come, and you have some hope in your hearts. But you know, as Sarah was talking about that wax, that you were like that wax that's kind of been like fighting the discipline of God, where God's been trying to rein you in, or for a season, focus and develop one area of you to prepare for what's to come. You maybe been pushing that away, or you've been really running in your own independence, right? Like I was talking about, that we all live in independence from the Father. And you might be in that second category, and in a moment, what we're going to do is pray and actually say, God, I need to come back to being a son. Would you teach me about that? Because I'm not good at it. I'm not that good at it. There are lots of days where I find, well, I've been living independent this whole week. No wonder I'm in a terrible mood. My wife hates me. I'm so worried about all these little things. And I have to come back to God and be like, God, help me to be a son again today. Because I'm not doing well. I love that Jesus says in John chapter 14 or 15, he says, you know, I'm the vine, but you're the branches. And so if you cut off a branch, how's it going to bear fruit? So you have to remain in me. If you remain in me, life will flow into you and you'll bear fruit. And so we need to do that. We need to learn how to be dependent on him. So some of you are in that second category. And then there are those of you who are in that third category. And it's time for joy. And it's time for excitement, because you need to start eating some fruit. There is fruit like right in front of you. And it's time for you to start like living in it and enjoying it. You've been like submitting to God. You've been doing the right stuff. But you've been kind of like the people who are looking at those grapes and just observing them from afar. It's time for you to sink your teeth in and start to enjoy the goodness of God that's before you right now. So why don't you just stand to your feet just for a second. We got to close up soon before like the world explodes below us. I just want to pray first. Close your eyes for a sec. Just close your eyes for a sec. And you know, if you're in that first category, actually, we're all going to pray this together, all three of these prayers, but pray from your heart, really from your heart, if you're in that first category right here, right now. So let's pray this prayer after us, inviting God to start to show us what is ahead, to give us some vision, you know, send us out like a spy into the promised land and see some of that like amazing stuff he's got prepared. So pray after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I choose to believe today.
I choose to believe today.
That there is good ahead.
That there is good ahead.
And that it is good.
That it is good.
far beyond,
far beyond
what I've imagined so far.
What I've
tasted so far. And I invite you, God, start to reveal what is ahead to me.
Start to reveal what is ahead to me.
Start to reveal the promised land to me.
Start to reveal the promised land to me.
God, I've known what it is.
God, I've known what it is
to live like a slave.
To live like a slave.
But now, as your child,
but now as your child,
I want to get a sense of my inheritance.
I want to get a sense of my inheritance.
Let's take a second and allow Holy Spirit just to start to touch our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Start to do that. God, here in this moment at Central, but Papa, this week, as we leave this place, God, as we get on our knees with you, as we live life, Father, start to reveal that fruit to us and start to awaken a hunger in us for it. Okay, now for those of us in that second group, we're all going to pray together. Let's all pray together. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I recognize in my life,
I recognize in my life,
I've been living in independence.
I've been living in independence.
Or God,
God,
I have been pushing you away.
I have been pushing you away.
Pushing away your discipline.
Pushing away your discipline.
Pushing away the areas where you're growing and challenging me.
Pushing away the areas where you're growing and challenging me.
And Father, I confess that to you today.
Father, I confess that to you today.
And I receive grace.
And I receive grace.
To help me live different, God.
To help me live different, God.
God, I choose today.
God, I choose today
to go in a new direction to you.
To go in a new direction to you.
It's really important you pray this from your heart. God, I choose to say yes to you.
God, I choose to say yes to you.
Yes, where you're challenging me.
Yes, where you're challenging me.
Yes, where I feel like you're hemming me in.
Yes, where I feel like you're hemming me in.
Because I know.
Because I know.
That you're developing form and function in me.
That you're developing form and function in me.
For amazing things that are to come.
For amazing things that are to come.
Just take a moment and just let that sit. So I feel like Holy Spirit is like, it's like oil on some of you right now, and where you've been calloused, and where some of your conscience has been like, it's been like seared. I feel like right now Holy Spirit's just healing and restoring. Come right now, Holy Spirit, bring restoration all across this room. Restore our hearts, God. And we choose to say yes, and not just here in a moment, God, at a service when we feel all goose pimply, but God, tomorrow and this week, God, as we leave, Holy Spirit, we ask for grace to help us to continue to say yes to you. God, you work on us while we're malleable. And if you need to chisel some stuff off, God, okay, cool. We give you permission to do that as well, amen. Okay, now those of us in that third group, and you might feel like I'm in all the groups, Andrew, oh no. That's okay, that's cool. I kind of feel like I'm in tonight as well. That's fine, we'll keep praying from your heart. So just say, Heavenly Dad.
Heavenly Dad.
I recognize. In some areas of my life, God. I'm doing pretty well with you, God.
And I need to
reach out,
grab a hold,
and sink my teeth into
the good that you have for me
in my life,
right now.
God, I know there's lots of good fruit to come. But today I choose
to taste and see
that you're good. And that you're producing good in me.
So
just take a moment. I want you just to receive from the Lord. Some of you are actually sensing the Holy Spirit's presence, yeah. And some of you is actually reminding you of things that are happening right now in your life that are good. And I feel like for some of you, there's been a cloud of discouragement on you recently, or you've been focusing really on the negative, and God is saying, actually, look at all these good things I'm growing in you. Look at all these good things that I've opened, all these good doors I'm opening in you. Look at how faithful you were last week when you did that. And yesterday when you did that, I was so proud of you. And today, when you chose to say yes to this and not a no to that,
yeah.
I looked at that and I smiled. I said, that's my kid right there.
Yeah.
That's my son. That's my daughter right there. God, we choose to drink in your goodness right now. Mm. And Father, I pray that every day it wouldn't be a matter of us just like living in hope of good fruit, but we would also be like that tree in Revelation. We'd be producing good fruit all the time. Tasting this amazing stuff, that tasting your amazing kingdom every day, God. Not just hoping, you know, I hope I see someone healed who's sick one day, all right? I hope that, like, I see something supernatural happen one day, or I hope that terrible situation works out someday, but instead being like, God, you have good for me, I have all your authority, because Jesus, you said you've got all authority, and so I want to see it happening now. I want to see it manifesting now. I want a little bit of a demanding attitude, God. I want that in my heart, God, in the right way. So would you grow that in me? And Father, I thank you that you're not making us into like spiritual Paris Hiltons. And we bless Paris Hilton, and we ask that she come to know you. I know when she comes to know you, God, she's going to be great for your kingdom. So we pray for her right now, and we bless her. And we ask you to surround her with God. Come on, pray with me. We ask you to surround her with godly influence, Father. That you speak life into her and draw her into truth in Jesus' name. Out of that junk. And we bind up everything that's going on in her life right now. Anything that's not of God, we bind up right now in Jesus' name. But Father, I pray you would make us like what Paris Hilton has been in the spiritual realm, God. We wouldn't be like spoiled kids who have like very little restraint, God. But instead, let us be like disciplined, faithful, productive, and happy children. Not like slaves, but like your sons who are walking in our inheritance. Like your sons and daughters walking in our inheritance, Papa. Every day. Father, we love you. Give someone a hug.